Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. You already know how to do this, but should you want to join in, and we'd love to have you, 312-981-7200. Hi, Wendy.
Top of the morning to you, Billy boy.
Yeah, yeah. Is it okay to start out with some, I mean, I know that Steve talked about it quite a bit, and you probably heard a lot of conversation about it yesterday, but Hollywood lost a legend yesterday in Burt Reynolds.
Here's why we can talk about it, because it happened pretty much right after we got off the air yesterday.
Yes, it did.
I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to miss him. You haven't really had him for a while.
Well, I've never had him. I'm the only one.
That's not what it says in the book,
Wendy. Shut up.
I've always had a theory that there was more than one Burt Reynolds.
Why do you say that?
Because sometimes you'd get Burt Reynolds, I will use Deliverance as an example.
Amazing movie.
Where he just, it's a great movie, and he's just, it's impossible when he's on the screen to not watch him. If you watch Deliverance and you got four really gifted actors working together there, but every time Burt Reynolds was in a scene, your eyes were just drawn to him. He was so good and so menacing, and his character had a whole bunch of layers. He wasn't all good, he wasn't all bad, he was very conflicted, and you could see it. Sometimes it was so subtle in his face, you could just see, I'm a guy in a bad situation and I don't know what to do right now, you know? There was that Burt Reynolds, but then there was also the Burt Reynolds that made a bunch of movies with his friends.
Right.
That were
he wasn't acting in.
Right. He was just there.
That's my question to you, being a former film student.
Yes.
Was that his first major role, Deliverance? Because the acting in there is just phenomenal.
He kind of came from TV. You know, he was transitioning at that point from television. He did a show called Dan August. He did, I can't remember if Run, Simon, Run was a series or a movie, but he was predominantly a TV actor at the time, transitioning into movies.
So one of his first films, would
yeah,
you say?
Yeah.
Because the acting was just so unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then from that movie forward, it was just mugging at the camera and being silly and sexy.
Well, it wasn't really. I mean, Boogie Nights.
Oh, he was great in that.
But there's a movie that I don't think a lot of people saw. It might have been his last movie called The Last Movie Star.
Oh, which, the girl from Modern Family.
I don't remember.
Ariel Winter's in that also, yeah.
But he played, not really himself, but he played an aging movie star, kind of coming to grips with his, you know, death and age and, you know, wrapped up fame. It was a really good movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I'll watch
that. A couple years ago.
Yeah, it came out last year, 2017.
I remember Sharon and I went to see it. It was really pretty good.
Chevy Chase was in it. Ariel Winter, as Bill mentioned.
Yeah. I've seen clips of it. I've never seen the whole thing. I should see the whole thing. But he did a movie a couple years ago, a hockey movie that was it's more than a couple years ago now. I guess it's a decade or so. Every once in a while, he'd show up in a movie and you go, Burt Reynolds still has it. But remember when, all right, so now we're going into the 70s, when Johnny Carson ruled The Tonight Show, and you knew if Burt Reynolds was on it as a guest, anything could happen.
And it did.
Right?
Yes.
He would just come on, and he was just the epitome of cool, and he had leather pants on.
Charismatic.
So charismatic. But you just knew, like, if Johnny said, hey, tomorrow night we've got Burt Reynolds, you go, well, I have to see this, because anything can happen. Burt Reynolds is going to be on The Tonight Show.
He was so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, did you think for a while that he was mean to Dom DeLuise? Because I did sometimes.
They were friends, though.
They were very close friends. But a lot of times when they were together, like if you watch the gag reel at the end of any one of the movies that he did where Dom DeLuise, it's always Burt hitting Dom DeLuise with stuff. He'd just pick up a stick and he'd hit him with a stick and then he'd pick up something else and he'd hit him with it. And I'd go, if I'm Dom DeLuise, I'm not sure what I'm getting out of this friendship.
Well, it's a strange line. I guess I can attest to this because my girlfriend Sue was engaged to this guy Jeff, and I met him for the first time. And he said, "Why do you like that girl Wendy? She's so mean to you." And it really hurt me because I wasn't being mean. It's just we've been friends since sixth grade, and you kind of goof a little bit. Now he likes me, thank God.
Yeah.
But I can see where that would come off to an outsider as I don't know.
Right.
Him hitting them, I mean, they're like teenagers when they were together.
I'd always watch those gag reels, and that became a thing in every Burt Reynolds movie. Like, you ever see Hooper?
Yeah.
Or Stroker Ace?
Yes.
Or, I could just go on and on. It's always, the script always goes like this. Bert gets in car, drives car fast, meets girl, girl gets in car, they drive fast, you know, they it knock stuff the over with the car.
Arm out the window.
Arms, yeah, yeah. Sometimes he's the good guy, sometimes he's the bad guy, but he's just, it's always built on him driving a car really fast and a girl liking him, you know. But we bought it. He was the number one box office guy in the world for years. Burt Reynolds was. So I don't know. I guess part of that's charisma and charm. Part of it has to be acting ability, I guess, right? Can't you be?
I don't know. I wouldn't ever consider him a fantastic actor.
There were far better actors than Burt Reynolds, but he just had, there was a certain gravity to him. You know, when he'd show up, you go, I like this guy. He's one of those guys that fits into the bracket of guys want to be him, women want to be with him. He was kind of the first or one of the first to do that.
And he always got away from the sheriff.
Always. Jackie Gleason.
That's some...
right. Right.
He was an actor for sure, but I think he just was more of a sex symbol.
That's, yeah.
I really do.
That's it.
And young and old.
Right.
People loved him.
Right. So what do you think was in it for him to pose for the magazine?
Well, that's what I'm looking up, because there are so many different... It was in Cosmo.
It wasn't Cosmo?
It was in Cosmo.
Yeah.
Because I thought for sure it was in Playgirl. Did he do a spread in Playgirl as well?
The big one was Cosmo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nick DiGilio.
Let's reflect on that for just a moment.
I'm looking at the centerfold of him just laying there on the bare rug, and
I can't see anything. For people who've never seen it.
Oh, no, because his hand's there.
He's covering himself.
But he's got that little treasure trove of hair pointing to it.
No, yeah. But I'm uncomfortable, incredibly.
Because why? Just what? Looking at the picture?
Treasure troves of hair.
There is a lot.
So let's just
listen up, daddy-o.
Look at his body.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And look at the different time where, you know, no Hollywood actor, let alone sex star, would have a body like that.
Right.
He was
doughy. Yeah.
He wasn't doughy.
By today's standards...
I don't know that he's Bill. Here,
well,
I got it.
If you compare him to the guys that are the box the meteor draws at the box office, right? Like Vin Diesel or The Rock or somebody like that.
He was the guy sex symbol of the day.
Yeah.
So compare him to a sex symbol of today.
Yeah.
Give me a sex symbol of today so I can compare. Because you're saying Vin Diesel. If you're going Vin Diesel or Burt Reynolds, I'm going to pick Burt Reynolds 10 times over.
But I think what Steve is saying is, like, today's guys are more, there's more chisel to them.
Right. Exactly what I'm saying.
He's got a couple of one washboard.
Well,
he's got some nice arm definition.
Right. He didn't need to be that strong, because the only guy he was really going to hit in real life was Don DeLuise.
Right. And he was an easy target.
He was a very easy target.
And Paul Williams.
Right. Those guys, they didn't run fast. You could catch them really easily. All right, more discussion about the loss of the great Burt Reynolds. 82, right?
Yeah.
Is he 82?
And he's been sick for a while, correct?
On and off.
There have been reports, when you're at the grocery checkout and you see Burt Reynolds near death. That's been going on for a
years.
While.
That was 1975 and...
Forever, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was always the subject of stories like that.
He's not doughy.
I just thought of a movie, if you're a Burt Reynolds fan, you really need to see. Let's do this. Take a quick break, and then I'll explain that. Coming up, 312-981-7200, if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about the loss of Burt Reynolds, 82, died yesterday. Interesting taste in ladies. He said Sally Field was the love of his life, the one that got away. He dated Dinah Shore for a long time.
30-year difference? We looked that up.
Something like that.
Yeah. So
right around that. Dinah was quite a bit older than Burt Reynolds, but they dated.
They seemed to really be in love, didn't they?
They really did. He was married to Lonnie Anderson and to Judy Pilak. Did you know that?
No.
Or Judy Carn, maybe. I can't remember.
Oh, I forgot about Judy Carn.
Yeah, from Ronan Martin's Laugh.
Yeah. All right, well, you mentioned when Burt Reynolds would be teased to be on the Johnny Carson show, and that was a must-watch. Kevin remembers some of that. Hi, Kevin. Hello, Kevin? Breaker 19.
Oh, because of Burt Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Very good, very good.
Kevin?
Nope.
Well, he remembers when Burt was on Johnny.
Oh, it was magical.
Yeah, that was great. Mel has a comment. Hi, Mel.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I think one of the funniest scenes I ever seen that any movie was when Bert got beat up in a bar and he came out and peed on the guy's front seat. That was fun.
Where was that?
Was that in Hooper?
I don't know if it was. I don't think it was Smokey and the Bandit, but it was one of his earlier movies, you know. But, you know, it was just so funny. I mean, they didn't show anything. They just show him peeing on the guy's seat, you know.
Yeah.
And that's so Bert.
It was funny as hell. So.
Well, excellent.
His movies were just entertaining. They weren't blockbusters or anything. They were just good entertainment.
He was an entertainer. Yeah. I mean, actor, yeah, definitely, but, you know, sex symbol, entertainer. A lot of things, in my opinion, came before actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Mel.
Thank you.
I used to think, even as a kid, because he would fill the movies up with his friends, you know, whoever his friends were at the time. And I would always think, maybe he put Terry Bradshaw in there to make himself look better. Because it was easy to out-act Terry Bradshaw. No disrespect to Terry Bradshaw.
He wasn't in North Dallas 40, right?
He was in North Dallas 40 with Mac Davis.
Mac Davis, was it? Yeah. McNulty in that too?
Oh, wait. I might be thinking of Semi-Tough.
Oh, you are combining two movies.
That's Semi-Tough. Similar storylines.
Well, they all were.
Yeah.
Because the other one was Mad World, right? He wasn't in that.
He was not in that.
That was his crowd.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So the one movie that I think we have not mentioned that if you're a Burt Reynolds fan, you need to see is Longest Yard, original version. Although he's also in the second version. Adam Sandler remade it, and Burt Reynolds came back and played the coach. But this was the movie about the prison football game where the inmates played the guards. And he really is, I mean, for it being kind of a light comedy,
it's a good movie.
It's a good movie, and he's I think, the most Burt Reynolds you can be in that movie.
North Dallas 40, Nick Nolte, Mac Davis, Charles Durning.
So Semi-Tough is his other football movie, right?
Yeah.
I think. I'm almost positive.
You have a computer in front of you, don't you?
Nah.
You don't?
It's not plugged in.
David wants some advice, Bill, and you're the guy to help him. Oh. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. I'm probably the first person to call your show looking for parenting advice.
Bring it on.
I can blame it on the two of you. Yeah, my wife is mad at me.
What is it? What can we help you with or try to help you with?
Well, my son is 9, and he heard me talking about Burt Reynolds last night, and I was trying to figure out, what do I start him out with? Cannonball Run.
Uh-huh.
Or Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh.
I'm not sure where to start the journey into, you know, guy
right.
car movies.
He's
right.
9, did you say?
He's 9.
Yeah.
He can watch Smokey and the Bandit.
I think that's allowable. Why not?
Just
sure.
Not striptease.
No, stay away from striptease. Or the best little whorehouse in Texas.
Nights, but I don't want to, you know,
Boogie Nights.
Listen, I never filtered anything my kids watched, but at 9, I wouldn't have let them watch Boogie Nights.
Right.
No. I would.
But they would have learned what prosthetics were.
Right. When he wants to be Dirk Diggler for Halloween, you have a huge problem on your hands.
It beats Fortnite. It really does. So Smokey and the Bandit, is that what we're going with?
Yeah, I think so, right?
It's a good movie.
Yeah, why not?
Fantastic. When my wife is screaming at me, I will have her leave a comment on your Facebook page.
Thanks. Or just have her call us with the aftermath.
Right.
How many are there?
Thanks, David.
What was the guy Paul Williams' partner?
Pat McCormick.
Pat McCormick, yeah.
Pat McCormick was a writer for The Tonight Show who also did a little bit of acting, and they paired those guys off for the simple reason that Pat was really big
Huge.
And Paul was really small. Yeah. So they went, well, that's funny. We got a big guy and a small guy. It's what made Yogi Bear such a hit.
They were funny, though. I mean,
right.
Paul Williams is funny.
Semi-Tough, 1977. You had your Burt Reynolds, of course. We forgot about Kris Kristofferson. Was that mentioned?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Was he in Semi-Tough?
Yeah. Jill Klaber, Burt Convy.
Right.
Richard Mazur. Brian Dennehy, Ron Silver, I loved him.
He was with Jill Clayburgh in Starting Over, which is really pretty good, too. He really, if you go to his IMDb page and you scroll down, it goes like this. Oh, that was great. Oh, that was horrible. That was not good. It's just back and forth and back and forth. Some of them are really entertaining movies. Some of them you just go, uh-oh, what was he thinking that day?
I hope David's still listening because Ruben wants to share his childhood memories of Smokey and the Bandit. Hey, Ruben.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, hey, this is more directed towards Bill because I know he's a big toy collector.
Mm-hmm.
I was about 10 years old when Smokey and the Bandit came out. And, you know, of course, it was a big impact. Everybody wanted a Trans Am, including myself. But, of course, I was 10 years old. But, hey, Bill, do you remember when Hot Wheels came out with the Hot Bird? It was a black Trans Am. This was before Tickle Me Elmo and Cabbage Patch Kids. Everybody wanted that car. Every kid who collected Hot Wheels wanted that car. And I remember riding my bike for almost 30 miles one day looking for this damn car, and I could not find it.
Oh, did you ever end up getting one?
I ended up getting a gold-plated one.
Oh, not even better.
Yeah, it's a little beat up. It was in a collection. I bought it in a state sale, but I have one now.
Oh, doesn't that feel good? Yeah?
And then also, just a little personal story. My mother worked for General Motors at the Van Nuys plant in Los Angeles that built Camaros and built the Trans Ams that were in Smokey and the Bandit. So, you know, when I go watch that movie now, I look at the car and I say, yeah, my mom helped build that car.
Oh, cool.
But, you know, Burt Reynolds, I mean, at that time, and then, of course, he came out with Cannonball Run. I mean, there was a time you could say, well, he wasn't the greatest actor, but, I mean, as far as pop culture goes, he was a very big influence, especially in the vehicles, you know, with the cars.
Absolutely. No question about it. Yeah.
Thank you, Ruben. Yes.
Thanks, Ruben.
And how old were you when you watched it? Is a 9-year-old that's safe to watch it?
Looked at you, please. I mean, he was so funny in that movie. And it was just, unfortunately, you know, there's not a lot of interaction between him and Bert in the movie, but still, you know.
It worked.
It was hilarious.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it, Ruben. We have lost a legend, and I just saved my wallpaper. Do you see what I have on my wallpaper?
Let me see. What is this? Oh, it's Burt Reynolds posing without his clothes on. Is that your new screensaver? Yeah? All right, good.
I just turned my mic off. That was a sign.
Yeah.
All right.
A break or no break? There's no time for a break.
No, we're going to do news right now. Thank you, Steve. Did you get a Krispy Kreme?
I took a pass on the Krispy Kremes, but they look lovely.
Steve's
doing
the no sugar thing that I do.
Yeah.
Steve's in the middle of one right now, so he's not eating
sugar.
Sorry,
I didn't mean to taunt you, but Krispy Kreme donuts dropped some stuff off. Some donuts, that's what the stuff is. They announced the return of the chocolate glazed donut. If you've never had it, it's their original glazed with dipped in chocolate. It's tremendous. It's available on the first Friday of every month beginning today.
Bill
today
was
is the
eating
day.
His with two hands earlier.
Yeah,
I saw him in the office.
Steve found that incredibly entertaining.
Yeah. It was like he was a 2-year-old. The donut was a big donut.
I laid on the floor and I colored and I had a donut and I ate it with two hands.
Chocolate Fridays. You can't...
Chocolate Fridays.
It made your Friday even better.
It sure did.
And Krispy Kreme will be offering this Friday special at its two Chicagoland locations, Evergreen Park, Homewood, and a third location will be opening October 9th in Hillside on Mannheim Road. So thank you to Krispy Kreme. It's the chocolate glazed donut available on the first Friday of every month, beginning today.
Wendy, a couple things. I know we can't spend the whole show talking about Burt Reynolds, although I would like to, but we can't. There's other things to do. Just a couple quick things. You had asked the question, was Deliverance Burt Reynolds' first movie? I've done some research. It was his first starring or co-starring role. He had been in 4 or 5 movies prior to Deliverance, but that was the one that kind of made America take notice that he could hold his own and do even really good things in movies. All right. So somebody texted in saying that they knew somebody who worked on Deliverance and that they added hair to Burt Reynolds' chest to make him look more virile. I'm not positive that that's true.
You know, Bob Ferguson, one of our fantastic engineers,
Speaking of virile.
Well, I changed my wallpaper to the Cosmo layout of Burt Reynolds, and Bob asked if they added hair to him.
Yes.
Well, I don't... If they did for the movie, I'm sure they did for the layout.
But what?
They took some of that bear rug hair and put it on.
But is that... I don't know that that's...
Remember the phrase? Come on, it'll put hair on your chest.
Yes, I guess that was like all the rage. Like if you saw a little chest hair coming up, like all of a sudden, who's the guy? Oh, I can't think of his name.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
No, like
who?
He's like Danny DeVito. I think he played Carla's on Cheers.
Dan Hedaya.
D- Is that who I'm talking about?
Yeah, Dan Hedaya.
You know, you'd see a tuft of hair coming from...
Dan Hedaya?
Yeah.
Is that really who it is?
Yeah.
He kind of looked like Carla DeVito and Danny DeVito's love child?
Yeah. Not Carla DeVito.
I've really just screwed this up.
That's right.
She's married to Robbie Benson.
Right.
Who also had hair on his chest. It was very popular.
But now I wonder if that was real.
Wait, who's married to Robbie Benson?
Carla DeVito, who sang with Meatloaf in Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
That's right.
I know. See, this is what's going on in my brain all the time. So there's a little sample of what I have to deal with every day. Yes, ADHD.
Did somebody tape hair to your brain? Now I'm confused.
No, but that was very, sexy with hair peeking out. You'd lower your shirt. But
like the Wild and Crazy Guys on Saturday Night Live.
And then now, every man out there who, and I don't slam millennials, I'm not the one to do it, but they shave everything.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, everybody's smooth.
Yeah? To what end?
I don't know. Remember we had that back scratcher or that razor?
Yeah.
People shave everything now.
Oh, all right.
Men shave legs.
Oh. Their own, you mean?
Say it.
You can't just go up on a subway and start shaving people's legs. We get kicked off.
Depends on the season. but I want to go back to you thinking Dan Hedaya was sexy.
Yeah,
no, I didn't.
He's
That's who I think of, a hairy,
he's hairy
guy.
Yeah.
And
remember Blood Simple, Bill?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That was a scary movie.
Yes, very scary movie. Now, here's another text, Wendy.
What, are you pulling a Mike Toomey, Bill Left conversation?
Can I try?
A texter said that if there was a mustache, this is, again, because of the loss of the great Burt Reynolds, that if there was a mustache Hall of Fame, that the first three people in would be Burt Reynolds, Tom Selleck, and Mike Ditka. Do you agree with that or disagree with that? And there might be, to my knowledge, there probably is a Mustache Hall of Fame. Why wouldn't they have one of those? But those three guys, when you think about flawless mustaches, I would also throw in Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah, I was thinking him too.
Yeah.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
Oh, yes.
Dan Hedaya, Wendy.
All right, that was the worst example ever.
It was obscure. I like it because it's very obscure.
And it helped me learn who Robbie Benson's wife was.
Right, Carla DeVito. Right. But you got to admit, I mean, not everyone can pull off a perfect mustache, but Burt Reynolds and the other two guys that were mentioned, Tom Selleck and Mike Ditka, there's no flaw at all in those mustaches. They're solid start to finish, all the way through. And it's hard to envision any of them without one.
Yeah, although Sam Elliott is... Does he have one still? I think he still does.
He's
on the ranch.
Right.
And he is just still unbelievably sexy. I bet he has a hairy chest. Anyone who can grow a mustache like that.
You think it would also have that gene?
Extra follicles.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
I don't know that that's
true.
That's
interesting.
Sam
Elliott, like if you say we got a part in a movie and we need an old cowboy. I wouldn't even have an audition. I would just call Sam Elliott and go, Sam, there's a movie, Old Cowboy. Oh, he's here. He would just show up. He would just magically know.
He is cowboy stature.
Old cowboy.
Yeah.
I interviewed him when, remember the movie We Were Soldiers Once? And
yes.
Young?
Yes.
I think that was a Mel Gibson movie too, wasn't it? Was he in that?
I don't know
anyway,
the answer
he came
to that.
Through, but he's an intimidating
You know
kind
who
of
he's
guy.
Married to, right?
Yes, and he was cut from
Robbie Benson.
He's married to Robbie Benson.
Carla DeVito
from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance
Kid. Catherine Ross,
and he was in that movie. Sam Elliott was, but he was. I think it's just his hands at a poker table or something.
Oh,
and
really?
That's where they met.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What?
Someone else we have to add onto the
Mustache Hall of Fame.
Yes, we have to do it, and I believe Steve is on the line. Hi, Steve.
Coach Q, and how about David Crosby, too?
Both of those guys have pretty good mustaches. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you get both.
Write them down.
Yeah.
And someone we forgot, which I got to be honest with you, I didn't realize he had a mustache because it's white. Walter Cronkite.
Oh, yeah, Walter Cronkite is good.
I didn't even know he had a mustache. I'm looking at a picture
how
of
about,
him.
You know who John Waters is, the filmmaker?
I was going to say.
Except, you know, his is just, it's drawn on.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is. He doesn't really have a mustache.
It's like the ladies used to do with their eyebrows.
Yeah.
They used to shave them all off and just put a pencil. He does that with his mustache?
Yeah, I'm not making that up.
Doesn't it smear?
No, well, I don't think so. I've never seen it smeared, but whenever he shows up anywhere, he always has that pencil-thin mustache, but it's not real. It's drawn on.
Wyatt Earp had a fantastic mustache. Jefferson just called in with that. In fact, let's do a Wyatt Earp presentation somewhere.
You got to go back a couple years, but yeah, I can't argue with that. Wyatt Earp had a pretty good mustache.
Benjamin Harrison
had a tremendous mustache.
Yeah. Clark Gable.
A couple of the apostles had pretty good mustaches going, but that's...
Can you be in the Hall of
Mark
Fame?
Mark Twain, wait, you guys.
Okay, can you be in the Hall of Fame if you have a beard too? Because that, no. That knocked out a lot of the hot apostles. Maybe.
Mark Spitz had a mustache for a while.
He had a pretty good mustache.
Okay, now the category Zorro. Is people who had mustaches.
Right. Salvador Dali.
Nice one.
The Swedish Chef has a great mustache. No, he does. He does. It's hard to compare his to Salvador Dali's.
Pancho Villa.
Oh, yeah.
My Aunt Louise.
Steve's Aunt Louise.
Frank Zappa had a fantastic mustache and a little soul patch.
Yeah, so does that count if he's got anything on his chin, too?
Well, he had a goatee for a while, but he at one point just had a mustache and just like the little soul patch right below your bottom lip.
Right. Right,
it
right,
wasn't
right,
connected.
Right.
That's pretty great. Yosemite Sam.
Cartoon Division. You can't give him full-fledged.
Robert Goulet.
It's like the writer's wing.
Wait.
For the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Wait, did Robert Goulet have a mustache?
Yep. I'm looking at a picture of him.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I'm the Robert Goulet who lives in my head does not have a mustache for some reason.
Carl Weathers.
Oh, yeah, he had a pretty good one. Yeah. I like that one.
Wilford Brimley.
Brimley's... He has one, but is it a good one? It's very...
It's huge.
It's walrusy.
Okay, it is very
now,
walrusy.
Only people who could be present for the induction ceremony.
Right. You can't be... You right. Can't. You're right. That Steve's caveat is a fair one. Because if you're gonna set up the stage...
One more.
Who else?
Teddy Roosevelt, did we mention that?
I think he got a mention.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Several texters have said Cheech Marin.
Yes.
That's
although
a pretty good mustache.
It looked so weird.
This texter says Larry Buckner, but I think he means his brother Bill Buckner, right?
Who's Larry?
I think it's his brother, I think. he may have a better mustache than Bill Buckner. I don't know. But Bill Buckner, that's a pretty good mustache.
Yeah,
that's solid.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
All right. You had a mustache for a while, didn't you?
Or and a beard, mustache
oh,
and a
it was
beard.
A connection.
Yeah, I looked hot.
Is that when your beard was really dark and your hair was really blonde?
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Nature did that one. All right, let's take a quick break. And then there's more discussion to be had right here at WGN.
We're talking about many things. We started by honoring a great man, Burt Reynolds, who has passed away at the age of 82. Then we got off on a mustache tangent. Oh, chest hair first.
Right.
And now I think we're back to Burt Reynolds, combining the two. Melanie is on the line with us. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Bill. I love your show, but I just have an unusual story about Burt. I knew this kid whose uncle adopted him, and he was, I believe, a photographer in Hollywood. The guy was never home, and that's why we were always at this kid's house.
Yeah.
And Lou Boudreau lived opposite on the corner from him. It was in Dalton. And he told us, you know, Deliverance came out, and, you know, it was a fantastic movie. I was a freshman in high school. And my father and I adored that movie. And the name escapes me of this kid. I just cannot think of it. It's on the tip of my tongue. But he told me, he said, you know, they pasted hair on his chest. And I said, oh, come on. You know, I didn't want to believe it.
Yeah.
I said, why would they do that? He goes, well, it's Hollywood. He goes, you know, they'll do any. And I said, they don't have to paste hair on Burt Reynolds' chest. I mean, that's how, you know, in love I was with
sure,
her.
Sure, of course.
But that was, you know, he was not making it up. He would tell us, like, these inside little tips on Hollywood, and that was one of them.
That's crazy. I never would have guessed that about Burt Reynolds. Thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate it, Melanie.
And Jim has a fond memory, if we can, really quick. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. I love you guys. Bill, real quick, before I tell the other story, did you today in the semifinals, the this girl from Japan, Osaka, she won. She's going to play Serena for the finals, and she's half Japanese and half Haitian. Unbelievable.
Half Japanese and half Asian?
Haitian.
Oh,
yeah, Haiti. Yeah. She looked exactly like that. But my story is, in 1974, I was playing semi-pro football. It was a Burt Reynolds-related story.
Yeah.
I was playing, I was playing semi-pro football, and Bill Gleason, who was a head writer, sports writer for the Sun-Times, came to our game and said, do you guys want to play Stateville Prison? And we're like, heck yeah. So we went down there, and we had to go through five lockups, and we played Statesville Prison, and it was the most amazing day of my life. I mean, you know, it was just, I was a starting running back, and I got my 100 yards, but I got in a fight and knocked out. It was incredible.
But it's similar to the longest yard to the longest yard, right?
Yeah, that's why Bill Gleason did that, and he did two Sunday features of us on the back page. You know, two Sundays in a row.
Oh, that's so cool!
Can you do an impression? It was. Do you do an impersonation of Gleason? Because everyone used to.
Let's hear yours, Bertrand.
Well, Joust, right?
Yeah.
From the sports writers.
Joust doesn't realize is this team hasn't won in 3 weeks. Yeah. They're not going to win tomorrow.
You got to look at the score.
Yeah.
Take it easy, Steve. But anyway, so on our way back, Gleason lit up a cigar and we had some beers, but it was an incredible time. I'll never forget that day. And wanted to pass it along.
Oh, that's excellent.
Longest yard, yeah. So I love you guys. I listen to you all the time. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
Have a good one.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We were like the Double Mint Twins.
Yeah, how about that?
Have a great weekend.
Nice
Jackie Gleason, by the way.
Bill Gleason.
Bill Gleason, yes.
Yeah.
I'm like thinking, but why aren't you doing Bang Zoom? Why are you
think
to the
about
moon?
The Honeymooners, if it was Bill Gleason instead of Jackie Gleason, wouldn't that have been great?
I'm telling you, Alec. The Baltimore Orioles are not going to win their division. They didn't win last year. They're not going to win it this year.
All right, now do OB.
I can't. My heart can't take that.
It's too much.
So a bunch of texts from people. The original text was, if there was a mustache Hall of Fame, Burt Reynolds would be in day one, Mike Ditka would be in day one, and Tom Selleck. And then several hundred of you have texted in other ideas. Any come to mind, Wendy? Are there any you see that you like the most?
Don't make me get started again. Oh, I don't have the texts up, Bill.
Jim Croce is getting quite a few votes.
Groucho Marx.
Groucho Marx is not, yeah, we didn't mention Groucho Marx, but that's well-deserved.
He did sometimes draw it on. And why did he do that?
It was shoe polish.
Why sometimes and sometimes it was for reals?
I can't figure that out.
Maybe
I don't
he
know the answer
shaved
to that.
Accidentally or something and needed a mustache.
Yes, there's a chance of that. A couple people are saying Steve Harvey has a killer mustache. It's okay, right? It's all right.
It's pretty good.
Captain Kangaroo.
Oh!
Why are
Bob
we not
Keeshan.
Mentioning Bob Keeshan, right? this one's cruel. Did you see the movie Frida?
No.
The character Frida Kahlo does have a mustache in that movie.
She's a real life person. Yeah.
The
artist.
Yeah. So, honorable mention to her.
You're mean.
Fu Manchu.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they named a mustache after him. So you have to have it. If they're going to name a mustache after you, you're doing something right. The rest of these are all pretty obscure. I don't know if anyone... There's a couple that I don't even know. I think people are just mentioning people that they've met. Gene Shalit's getting a couple mentions.
Oh, yes.
The Beatles from the Sgt. Pepper era are getting a bunch of mentions.
Yes.
Pretty good mustaches there. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that we've left off that definitely...
Geraldo Rivera.
Alex Trebek for a while.
He still has it.
No, it's gone. It's been gone for a few years.
I just watched it days ago.
It's gone. Well, there's certain people you just, it's hard to picture them without one. So even when it's gone.
Invisistash.
You give them an Invisistash.
Bill, you'll like this one. Dorf.
Dorf from Dorf on Golf. Yeah. All right.
And somebody's, Dave Wonstadt. It wasn't completely finished
that
on one side.
That wasn't a good mustache.
It really wasn't.
Hercule Poirot. Like I said, some of these are
Brenda Vaccaro did not have a mustache.
She just had Darth Vader's voice. I'm trying to think. I don't think we can declare a winner. Oh, somebody said, why no mention of Lester Holt?
Because he doesn't have it anymore either.
I don't think
he does. He did have a pretty good one.
For a long time, yeah.
And porn stars.
Right. All porn stars. We don't even have to mention one or two by name.
And somebody said
that. Although Ron Jeremy hasn't been mentioned on the show all week.
Well, we got to change that. Yep. Great mustaches, my Aunt Rose. That's mean.
That's just mean. Send us a picture, though, so we can determine. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news for you.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, all here on WGN Radio.
Thanks, Steve. Don't forget, Tim Cavanaugh joins us in just a half an hour. But right now, it's time to talk to our friend Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor over at Decider.com. Alexander, Wendy and I have spent about an hour now discussing the life of Burt Reynolds. But really, when you think about it, even though he was a huge movie star for years and years, he had two different times where he was predominantly a TV star, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we were talking a little bit about his legacy over here in the office. It's kind of, this is maybe a little sad, but a little bit funny. But the first thing everybody thought of was Norm Macdonald on Saturday Night Live, sure. Which I know is not him. But I was, once that got stuck in my head, when I was looking back at all of these old pictures of him, man, Norm Macdonald completely nailed it in absolutely the best tribute way. But in terms of him being on TV, you know, you had him in Evening Shade, but also lots of other things. A fun thing, actually, that I had no idea about, one of our writers, Brett White, is basically an encyclopedia of old sitcoms.
Yeah.
And he wrote this wonderful thing about him showing, Burt Reynolds showing up on the Golden Girls. He just did a one-time thing, but if you read through it, it's so funny. It's just the Golden Girls reacting to how sexy he is.
Was he as himself?
He was as himself, yeah.
Okay, no character or anything. That's so funny.
And it's great. There's this gif he made that I've been checking back in all day, and it's just Burt Reynolds looking down at them and saying, which one's the slut? And they all raise their hands and say, I am.
And that is funny.
And I don't know. There's something about remembering somebody that way that I think is actually kind of ridiculous and wonderful, and it is really a tribute to Reynolds.
One thing, since you mentioned Norm Macdonald playing him, and he did several times on Saturday Night Live, sometimes in Celebrity Jeopardy, sometimes otherwise, is Burt Reynolds played Norm Macdonald's father on a little story arc on My Name is Earl years ago.
Remember
that? Yeah.
That's very interesting.
They call me Earl. Did I say my name is Earl? They call me Earl.
What was that? A TV show?
That was with Jason Lee. Yeah, it was
My Name is Earl.
My Name is Earl,
yeah,
right?
That was the name of it. He was on that?
Not often, like a reoccurring role every once in a while. But, he got Bert to play his own dad on there.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, this morning, I didn't even think of Norm Macdonald. And as Bill mentioned it to me, Alexander, that's all I could think of, even more than Burt Reynolds now.
Yeah, no, I'm very sorry about that. It's nice to know about the guest starring. I was looking back because I would have thought at some point Burt Reynolds would show up on Celebrity Jeopardy with Norm Macdonald. You know, they did that so often, but it never happened, so which is too bad.
You know what I always thought the key was to that impression? He had the look down, he had the voice down, but the key was he had Burt hands in pockets and chewing gum as if he'd rather be anywhere else but there.
Yes, exactly. He's, you know, we talk about this a lot, and certainly there are movie stars these days, but when you think about somebody who is a movie star, that's Burt Reynolds.
First of all, well said. You're true. That's so true. But when Wendy and I were talking about his work in Deliverance, which is one of his best movies and his breakout role, he was a TV actor, and at that point, you didn't transition, really. You were either a TV actor or you were a movie actor, but Burt kind of pulled both off in his lifetime.
He really did. He moved back and forth, and like you mentioned earlier, he had multiple aspects, multiple sections of his career. You know, he was the sort of person that would go away for a little while and then get a Boogie Nights and come back into the ethos. And the sad thing to think about was he was in one of those periods now. He just did a movie called The Last Movie Star that, by all rights, is supposed to be fantastic. He was going to be in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So just right now would have been another resurgence, I think, of Burt Reynolds. So it's always sad to see somebody go, but particularly right now when he was in the middle of one of those periods.
With that Tarantino movie, correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't shoot his scenes yet, right? He had signed on to be in it, but the scenes just weren't shot yet, yeah. No, it's too bad.
I believe he won't be in the movie. It's not one of those things where they'll have to finish it with somebody else.
Christopher Plummer.
I think they'll recast the part.
Christopher Plummer just sits in the bullpen now waiting for something to happen so he can get a shot.
Exactly.
And do we know the cause of death? Has that been released at this point?
No, there was a story I saw pop up that said that he had made a call beforehand complaining, I believe, about some chest pains, but we don't know the specific cause of death at this time.
So rough. So, we lost a legend, definitely, in Burt Reynolds yesterday at the age of 82. Let's talk about this story. This is a story that we've discussed in the past, but it just took another turn. This is Les Moonves, the guy who ran CBS. What's going on with Les Moonves exactly?
Well, in case you missed the earlier parts, Les Moonves was subject to a Ronan Farrow expose in The New Yorker, where it was revealed multiple women had accused him of sexual harassment and potentially even assault. CBS decided to do an independent investigation of it, which I believe is still pending at the current time. But it came out yesterday that, according to CNBC, that CBS has offered Les Moonves a $100 million severance package. The twist is he doesn't want to take it, specifically because in his contract is a $180 million severance package, and he would get a production deal. So as far as it seems, CBS wants to be done with it. They want to move on. But Les Moonves still says he understands that no means no. He never did any of the things that he's being accused of. And if he is going to leave, he wants his full severance.
If he is telling the truth, I agree with him. If he's not, what will Julie Chen do? I will miss her on Big Brother. Because really, she's all over CBS.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for her every time I look at her on TV.
Well, she's definitely completely taken the side of her husband. So to your point, whatever happens may or may not happen to her as well. My personal two cents, I think he should take it and be done with it at this point. I understand it's in the contract, but you know, what's $80 million between friends? And
unless
honestly,
you're innocent, you know? That's the only thing.
At this point, though, if he is going to leave no matter what, him staying on, him dragging this out, it tarnishes the reputation of CBS. So I do feel like there is something to be said for him moving on and then moving on to the next thing. Though I do understand what you're saying as well.
Will this, is there a chance that this will go to trial, Alex? How does this play out trial-wise?
My law degree is still pending, but I could potentially. I mean, if he really digs down his heels and says absolutely no, because this contract stipulates it, as far as I understand, he can demand that. And frankly, given the position, to take the opposite tack from what I just said, given the position he is in, the CBS board might want to be done with it and just say, okay, fine, here's the $180 million. The thing that I think makes it trickier more than anything is that he has a production deal as part of that. Oh. And if they really do want to be done with him, him having a production deal is the exact opposite of what they want.
Maybe he and Roseanne should hook up.
Oh, good idea, Wendy. What a solid idea that is. To your knowledge, though, has there been any fallout with either advertisers to CBS or with actors or directors or producers who go, yeah, that's a project I was going to work on, but it's CBS, and with all that's going on with him, I don't want any part of it?
Not really. I mean, CBS is still the number one network, and, you know, the shows aren't officially back yet, so certainly we'll see if everything falls off 50% of the fall season. But I don't think so. I don't think it's going to really affect anything in any particular way. There may be something that affects the development cycle, I would say. You know, we would probably see this play out more next spring if there are less pilots in development at CBS, if less big creators want to work with them, if the Les Moonves thing does drag on. But as of right now, heading into the new season, there hasn't been really any fallout.
I am currently writing a book, Alexander, called Goodnight Moonvest. Do you think that'll sell or not sell?
I'll pay $180 million for it, but that is as high as
that's your limit. All right.
You know, Alexander, listening to you say that CBS is the top-rated network is shocking to me. Remember,
it has been for a while.
What are the big things that are making it that way?
CBS, well, Big Bang Theory is the number one show on TV. I mean, granted, it's going away at the end of the season, but that's huge. But they've got the NCIS shows. They've got SWAT, which is a big hit. Basically, anything that is a procedural does really, really well. They're one of the, maybe the only network that actually is still working well with broadcast. They have a much older audience, an audience that is devoted to actually watching TV live, which helps them exponentially with advertisers versus the rest of the networks, which are struggling because they do have not a young audience, but a younger audience, which is very fractured by streaming. They're watching not just their shows on a delayed schedule when they ever they end up on Hulu or something like that, but also they're watching Netflix shows, they're watching Amazon shows, they're watching YouTube and Snapchat and everything else. CBS is the only one right now, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens over the course of the season, that is really holding on to that live viewing audience.
That's Alexander Zelbin, managing editor of Decider.com, a great website, Decider.com. We'll take a quick break and then continue this discussion next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zelbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com, a wonderful website if you like knowing about show business and television. Alexander, last week, Saturday Night Live paid tribute to John McCain. They showed an old episode where he had hosted the show from a decade or so ago. They've done it once or twice in the past. I always like when they do this. Did you get a chance to see it by any chance?
I didn't check it out. I remember watching it when it was originally on, but I didn't get to see the rerun, unfortunately.
You really forgot, or I forgot anyway. I mean, in addition to being a really good guy and a tremendous politician, he was really funny on the show. Sometimes they'll pull in somebody from another walk of life who's not an actor, and it doesn't go very well. But John McCain held up beautifully for 90 minutes. He was very, very funny.
He really was. That is something, to your point, that people really forgot about him, particularly in later years because things have been so serious politically over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But he was a very funny guy. He was a very personable guy. It's funny, he didn't really bring that to his presidential runs necessarily, and that's something that actually probably would have made him more appealing to the voting public, but at least we got to see it on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, so true. This is exciting. All I've seen is little 30-second snippets, so I have no idea how it's going to end up. But Jim Carrey is coming back to television in a show on Showtime. What do you know about this show?
So this is premiering Sunday night at 10 p.m. on Showtime. But actually, if you go to Showtime's YouTube page, you can watch the first slightly edited episode right now. The idea is that Jim Carrey plays a character called Mr. Pickles. He's sort of a Mr. Rogers-type character. And as the show picks up, it's been a year since his son passed away in a tragic car crash. So it's still funny, but it's very serious at the same time. It deals with what would happen if a character like this had to deal with something very real in their own real life, how it would affect him. And the cast is great. It includes Catherine Kinnear, Judy Greer, Frank Langella is in it. And it's directed at least the first episode by Michelle Gondry, who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I've watched it and I liked it. There's a lot of promise there. It's exactly as quirky as you would think. It doesn't necessarily get maudlin every time that it steers towards the more seriousness of the death. It figures out ways of steering back. So I think it's going to be a really interesting show to watch as it plays out over the course of the season.
It's more comedy or more drama?
That's an interesting question. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about that in TV journalist circles, not just with this show, but other shows, how things that you would normally describe as a comedy don't have a lot of laughs to them nowadays.
Yeah.
And this falls very much in that category. I will say there are jokes in the show. There are straight up funny bits that play throughout. There's a ridiculous payoff involving one of the costume characters on the show within the show towards the end of the episode that is definitely not for kids. But on a whole, it is maybe, let's say, 60% dramatic, 40% comedic.
All right. And that premieres on Showtime this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I binge watched season two of Ozark. Absolutely love that show. And we are definitely having a season three, correct?
Yes, there should be a season three of Ozark. I'd also strongly recommend, not to make more plugs for my own website, but one of our writers here, Kayla Cobb, is a huge fan of Ozark and has been doing a ton of great stuff delving into it. She has a really cool post up about the symbols that they put at the top of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking down what they mean and how they play out through each episode.
Both they change for season one and every season two. Episode, which I just realized. Did they always? Because I just noticed it like the last couple episodes of season two.
Yeah, it's every episode they're different. So definitely there's a gallery on the site you can check out, and it'll break down exactly what each symbol means and why it's important for the show, which is pretty neat, I think.
Decider.com. I'm on it right now. Kayla Cobb, Ozark Season 3, Everything We Know So Far. It's a super great show, Bill. I've been trying to talk you into it. It's dark. It's twisted. It's
Jason Bateman, who's always good.
He's nice to look at, I'll tell you that much.
All right. I'm in. All I know is the title of this show, Alex. I don't know anything beyond it, but I love the title. Sierra Burgess is a Loser. It's on Fox. What can you tell us?
This is actually a Netflix movie that dropped today. It stars Shannon Purser, who you probably know as Barb from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
She didn't get a whole lot to do there, though. She did get an Emmy nomination. Turns out what we were waiting for was this movie. I thought it is wonderful and charming. It's a teen riff on Cyrano de Bergerac with her playing the Cyrano role. She feels out of place in high school society. She finds a beautiful girl and ends up catfishing this guy played today, Noah Centineo, who, if you watch To All the Boys I Loved Before, which was a huge hit on Netflix just a couple of weeks ago, he plays the romantic interest in this one again. It's charming. It's funny. If you're a fan of Mean Girls or 10 Things I Hate About You in particular, you might really like this. And there's a nice, super weird role from Chrissy Metz from This Is Us, plays the mother of one of the characters. So it's great. If you got 2 hours, I highly recommend checking it out on Netflix this weekend.
Sierra Burgess is a Loser. I just realized I keep seeing ads for it on Fox, but it runs on Netflix. Okay.
The other thing that's interesting about it is it's written by a lady named Lindsay Beer, and this is technically her first movie, but over the next couple of years, she is writing every enormous tentpole movie in Hollywood, Transformer-style movies, Lord of the Rings-style movies, those sort of things. So you're going to be hearing her name a lot. So if you want to be cool and get in on the ground floor, check out Sierra Burgess and the Loser.
Excellent. Alex, always fun to talk to you. We really appreciate your expertise, and have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much.
That's Alexander Zalbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. That's the website, Decider.com. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then Tim Cavanaugh joins us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim. It is Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, and the was because I'm hoping that Tim Cavanaugh brought a squeeze box.
Well, if Tim is here, there will be a squeeze box and he is here. Hi, Tim.
A squeeze box.
That's pretty, though.
No, but that was right on key.
Tim,
with who? The who?
Stop me when you want to.
Squeeze.
It says here that Tim Cavanaugh is one of our leading performers and comedians. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Who wrote this?
I didn't. I don't know who wrote that.
No fault
I would
that
not
state,
call
right?
myself a leading. What's
That's
a
what
leading
it says
performer?
Here, leading performer and stand-up comic.
Okay,
been doing comedy for more
than
10 years.
You know what? There are a lot of people
here.
Who follow me.
Yeah.
Do you look around your shoulder all the time?
Usually don't have any money. And they seem to think I do, which I don't.
No, you don't.
By the way, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later on.
That's fine.
That's okay.
It is okay. Yes. According to this, again, stop me if it's wrong, you will be performing at the St. Vincent de Paul Society's Southside Neighbors in Need fundraiser, and that takes place Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. Is that true?
That is true, and that sounds like something I did write.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, because that's where I'm going to be Sunday. It's very, very cool. St. Vincent de Paul Society, they do all kinds of good things, and this is the Southside Neighbors in Need program, which is awesome. So it's like 15 parishes from the Southwest Side and Southside, and they've gotten together all of their St. Vincent de Paul Society chapters. And they put this thing together and they raise money. And if there are people who are in their neighborhood and their parish, they don't have to be Catholic. It doesn't matter. But if they're having some
Everyone's
hard times,
welcome.
they
will help them out.
Excellent.
And it's really it's such a great program.
Yeah.
And so we're doing a little fundraiser at Bourbon Street.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. a great place.
Which is technically called 115 Bourbon Street.
In Marionette Park.
In Marionette Park.
It's a great place.
Which I... you know, they've got a puppet regime there.
Oh, they do, because it's Marionette Park.
Yeah. 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 So it's... you know, I'm not saying that he's Putin's puppet, but I'm just saying that the mayor
did you have
of
to pull some strings to get into this?
Whoa! Good morning, ladies and gentlemen!
Oh, my God. I am in the hands of professionals here. This is fantastic. So anyway, the show is... the event is from 1 to 5. I'll be performing about a 30-minute set during the festivities.
Yeah.
And it's the usual, a lot of fun, nice people. There's
fun for the whole
food.
Family, Tim? Can kids come? Can adults come?
Everyone can. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, it's for everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
If they need information, they can go to my website because I've got it on my homepage.
And your
all
website
the information is timcav.com.
Okay. Very, very
you
good.
You can put a www in front of that, but I think
will
everybody
that get
knows
you there
that
faster?
Already. TimCav. No, it will not.
Same speed.
No, it won't. No.
All right.
No.
Dial up only, or how does that work?
I have dial up.
Oh, you do?
So it might take a while for you to get on
all right.
with it.
I think it's more reliable.
This goes back to the part where I said I don't have any money.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
And I don't even know if I can bring this up or I should bring this up.
What,
my wife
Tim?
And I debated this last night.
Yeah.
You know, Brett Kavanaugh.
Yes.
Big deal. Okay.
They're
I'm
having
Tim
hearings.
Kavanaugh. Yeah. You know, no relation.
Yeah.
Spelling is completely different.
Right.
You know, I'm sure he's a fine judge or whatever.
Yeah.
But right here in this town, there's a very successful lawyer whose name is Tim Kavanaugh.
Same name
as
you.
Same as mine.
I thought that was you.
Timothy J. Kavanaugh.
Oh.
And he's a great attorney, and he settles all kinds of stuff for, like, big money. I mean, I don't know that he's a rich man, but I just think
imagine.
He probably is. And the thing is, when you Google Tim Kavanaugh,
yes.
You would expect a lawyer. No, it's me.
Oh, it is.
It's a comedian. Lawyer,
yeah,
comedian. So I'm kicking his butt.
Are you good
on
for
Google.
You? Oh, good.
And I just wanted to make this offer
yes.
to him.
Yes,
I know he listens to the show.
Yes,
for $3 million,
yeah.
I will change my name
to what? Tim?
Yeah, what would you change it to?
Whatever he wants me to.
Oh,
this is like Indecent Proposal.
It is similar to Indecent Proposal.
You know what? I hadn't really thought about that. But I think this is legal. I ran this past my legal team.
Yeah.
Who's your lawyer?
Well, it's my wife, but she doesn't have a law degree.
That's fine.
But she's very smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she watches a lot of episodes.
I thought Tim Kavanaugh was your lawyer.
Boston Legal.
She watches
No. No, if he was my lawyer, I could have made this deal to him face-to-face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's true.
But I'd rather do this on the radio.
So, again, the deal is, just so I understand it, he has to change...
No,
his
if I
name
change,
you'll
if,
change
no,
your name.
If he pays me $3 million,
yeah,
I think you're worth more than that. Quite honestly,
I'd
well,
three.
I would be well. Yeah, this would help with my retirement plan.
Yeah,
and as far as I'm concerned, I get the $3 million. I'm gone. Tim
you're
Kavanaugh,
done.
It's yours. You can. I will take myself
will.
Out of the whole Google thing.
Yeah,
when you type in Tim Kavanaugh, it's going to be lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make boku bucks.
Yes, he would make boku bucks.
And I think it's a $3 million investment that would
Excellent.
Be worth his while.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I don't want to play hardball with the guy, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change my name on my own.
No.
Can he find you on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram?
I hope not. No, I hope he does, because he's got to be able to contact me.
Okay, yeah. Right.
So if he goes to www.timcav.com,
yeah,
he can
offer.
Leave a message there
and
say, this is Tim Kavanaugh.
Uh-huh.
Would you like a cashier's check or cash?
Yeah.
What if he shows up at 115 Bourbon Street on Sunday?
Between
1 and 5.
I'll tell you what. If he gives me the $3 million there.
In cash.
I will donate $80.
You would do that?
To the St. Vincent de Paul
That's
Society.
So nice of you.
You're a very generous man.
You're selfless.
That's how I'm going to use my money.
Yeah.
It's going to be $80 at a time.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
going
to be my contributions to things. You know, when friends call
year.
Me up and say, hey, you know what, I'm losing my house.
Yeah.
Here's $80.
Oh, well, that's so nice.
You know, so it'll
wow.
be good. And I consider both of you friends.
Yeah.
We get $80 if we need it.
Wendy gets $80, I get $80.
If you need it. And you don't even have to prove that. You two don't have to prove that you need it.
No, but others would.
Others would have to put some sort of money. Business plan together.
Right.
Past me.
This is so nice of you to do this.
I think it is.
It is very nice of you to do.
Yeah, because it's not. I mean, I want the money. Yeah, a little bit for
me. Sure, of course.
A little bit for a little bit of security.
Yeah.
But it's mostly going to go to the kids.
Yeah, the kids get some.
Yeah.
Well, that's How long have you been doing this? Because I've been a fan forever.
I've been doing it forever.
Okay, good.
Yeah, exactly right. Actually, a little bit before forever, I've been doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, because I had about 2 years of experience before you became familiar with me. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing. But so it's forever, and not forever in a day, but forever in 2 years is how long I've been doing
this. We would go to see you as a field trip, like in first grade or second grade. We'd come out and we'd watch you perform when I was a kid.
Exactly right.
It was fun.
Exactly right. And I had the role of... Mildred Fillmore down at Disney World in the
Hall of Presidents.
Yeah. The audio animatronics.
Yeah, that was fun.
There. Yeah, that's where I got my Fillmore. Start.
You did not. I never know when to believe
him. He understudied.
Him.
Like a lot of times, if the robot that plays
Mildred the robot Fillmore, doesn't work, then I'm in. Because and this was back. Mildred Fillmore, I think, had just been elected.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
And so they hadn't gotten all the robotics down to the science that they have.
Sometimes sparks would come out of them, and he'd start the other president.
It could be a dangerous job for me if I was because they had this fake that they were plugging me in.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like I don't know where.
No, you're real. You don't
know
that.
Where that plug's been.
Tim Cavanaugh will be performing at the St. Vincent de Paul Society's Southside Neighbors in Need fundraiser on Sunday, September 9th. As far as we know, it's this Tim. It's the comedian Tim, not the lawyer Tim Cavanaugh.
He will not be
performing. We'll take a quick break. You'll do a song for us, I'm guessing, at some point.
I'm going to do a song. This may be my last performance at Bourbon Street as Tim Cavanaugh.
Oh, all right.
If all goes well.
All right. We're hopeful.
I'll have a different name.
Hopeful. Stick around. That's coming up in just a few moments. It's Bill and Wendy and Tim Cavanaugh, the comedian Tim Cavanaugh, on WGN.
You got to keep them separated.
Wendy, truer words have never been spoken. It's Bill, it's Wendy, and Tim Cavanaugh is here. He's a comedian. He's
yes,
a musician.
I am. Yes.
What aren't you? Is there one job that you aren't?
Well, you know what? I did a little HVAC for a while.
You did some HVAC?
And I was not good.
I'm not sure what HVAC is. What is that?
Heating, ventilation, air conditioning.
Oh.
Oh, is that what the V is?
Yeah.
That's why I didn't do well.
Oh, that's
apparently.
All right.
I thought it was Vaseline.
No.
Okay. Heating, Vaseline, and air conditioning.
No, nobody. You couldn't combine
those.
No
wonder. I wasn't good at that.
That's not good. No. All right.
That's a confusing job.
The big performance, aside from the one you're about to share with us in a moment, is at St. Vincent de Paul Society's Southside Neighbors in Need fundraiser. It takes place on Sunday, this Sunday from 1 to 5. The event is being held at 115 Bourbon Street there in Marionette Park. What are you going to do for us today, though, Tim?
Today, because this is the first week of school for the Chicago Public School, I wanted to do a song. I'm working on a children's CD. You know, I've always got projects.
Yeah, always.
You know, that I'm working on.
Yeah.
I believe the last time I was in, I was working on this new project where it was I'd come up with an idea of how you can occupy kids on long road trips.
Right.
And it was coloring books on CD.
Yes.
That they really. Yes. It was. It
high
took
concept.
Off.
Big concept.
It was. And now I'm working on this other new project. And you know how Chicago's, it's all of a sudden every TV show is about Chicago.
So true.
And I want to get in on that.
Oh.
So I'm working on Chicago's CPA.
Chicago's
CPA. It's about the exciting world of the accountants in Chicago.
I'd love to.
You know, which after Arthur Anderson, you know, a lot of people think, oh, there's no accounting going on there. But there is.
There is.
There is. And it's just as exciting as it was back in the AA days.
Yes.
That's what we called Arthur Anderson.
Yeah.
At least that's the meetings I thought I was going to.
Oh, maybe it was a different meeting.
It might have been different. But anyway, I've got a new children's CD, and I thought I'd do
a song. You play a song for us? Yeah. All
right. I hate going back to school. I hate going back to school. I don't like books. The lunches stink, but nobody cares what I think. I hate going back to school. Our principal, Mrs. Wong, caught me eating boogers, sent me home, even though not all of them were my own. She wouldn't take that into consideration. to school. I hate going back to school. Each year I give myself this speech. This is the last year that I'll teach. I hate going back to school. And the kids learn that teachers eat boogers too. So, and I know that because I used to be a high school teacher.
Oh.
Yeah, how
so
about
you
that?
Drew from your own experience for that song.
Exactly.
That song,
right.
By the way, Tim, very rebellious. Don't you find it to be very rebellious?
Yeah, that's what I like about it. Yeah.
It's a new side of you. This is going to be exciting. Yep.
Can I give you a compliment? It was too short. I wanted more.
Wendy wants another stanza.
There's more verses, but I thought I would shorten it.
Oh.
Because...
Buy the CD, Wendy. It's a longer song.
Right, it is a longer song. Buy the CD.
All right, I will.
Absolutely.
That was great.
I heard it on the CD. It's like an hour and a half.
That's too long.
It's way too long.
It's a long time. Well, it's a lot of drums.
Yeah.
It's a lot of drum solos.
Three different drum solos.
Do you have another short, sweet one?
I do. And this is...
Less rebellious, Tim, if you could just slightly less rebellious.
You know
rebellious.
What? I'm still a teacher. I like to entertain, but I like to teach.
Sure.
And one of the things that kids don't, especially city kids, they don't know enough about animals, I don't think. And I wrote a song about one particular animal.
Oh.
I thought I'd share it with
all
you
right.
guys. Here we go. Is he dead or is he not? That's the game the possum's got. If he's just lying there with his eyes closed, you might poke him with a stick and away he'll go. If he's on the road with a squished in head, chances are that one's dead. If one looks dead but there's no aroma, that's a possum in a coma.
That's just beautiful.
Isn't that nice?
Short than beautiful.
You know what? Yeah, I've got a whole series of animal songs that I'm working on.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
So it's going to be a little something for everybody. You know, skunk OPU. All goes to the same music, you know, because I only know the four chords.
Boy, that's good. Now, Tim, I noticed that you're not only a fine guitar player, but when you're done, you don't crush the guitar. A lot of guitar players will just trash it and break. You don't do that. Why not?
I don't do it now, but I will do it if I get the $3 million
then
that
you'll
I'm hoping
start crashing
to get
your guitars?
From the other Tim Cavanaugh, right. Because then I'll be able to afford a new guitar every show. But I can't at this point. I'll be honest with you. I mean,
you want to make money
with cash.
I get it. All right.
Is there a snippet of another song that you will be performing on Sunday?
Can I do a joke that I talked to you guys about ahead of time, because I don't want to run out of time
Is it a controversial joke?
No, it is not controversial.
Oh, it's not?
No, it is not.
Then I'm all right with it.
You guys were talking about Burt Reynolds earlier, and a couple of things about Burt Reynolds. You were talking about when he was on The Tonight Show,
yes,
and how it was like, oh man, you know, you had to watch because anything could happen.
Yeah.
And I had that exact experience. I was like a senior in high school, and the whole family, you know, we'd gather around, and we had popcorn one night, and we were watching and waiting for him to come on, and he was on like for 1 minute, you never know what's going to happen, and like 1 minute into it, my 16-year-old sister blurted out, "I'm pregnant," and oh, you know, anything can happen, and it was crazy. I mean, it was like everybody was laughing.
Yeah, it was funny,
except for my parents.
Yeah, they didn't find it funny,
not so much.
No,
but everybody else.
Burt Reynolds. That's the memory that Burt brings back for you.
That's the one that I remember.
Yeah.
Now he was married to Lonnie Anderson.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now I read about her when she was born. Her parents wanted to name her Leilani.
Oh.
But then they thought about it, and they realized, well, when she gets to high school, they're going to separate those words,
bad.
And it's going to be Leilani.
Yes.
You know, which is not what they wanted, so they decided to just go with Lonnie. Her sister, Screwangelo, is not quite as lucky.
Screwangela Anderson was her name?
Screwangela Anderson,
I didn't
yeah.
know that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a fun
No,
fact.
She and she ended up being getting pregnant at 16, just like my
Your sister.
Sister
had a similar
yep.
story.
Yep.
Look at all the memories Burt Reynolds bring back.
Yep,
brings back.
Wendy, everybody's different. We learned that.
You know what? Yeah. He's got a lot of really bad memories.
TimCav.com, TimCav.com.
Yeah. Go and you can buy my CDs there. You can also find out more information about this benefit Sunday at Bourbon Street for the St. Vincent de Paul Society.
Southside Neighbors in Need.
In yep. Need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. great to see you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, you guys. It was great to see you.
We've got an angry text from a woman whose name is Screw Angela, who says that that was not funny. She's very offended by what you just said. But we'll handle that.
Well, you know what?
It'll be all right.
It's a cry for help.
Yeah, it is a cry for help.
You
it
know
is.
What? We've got a hotline number, don't you?
Yeah, there's always a hotline
number. Screw Angela hotline.
Yeah. There's nothing to worry about.
Always a pleasure, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
That's Tim Cavanaugh. We'll take a quick break. Wendy and I are headed to the stream, but...
Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.